morning. Welcome to the O'Neill Road Church of Christ. If you're visiting with us this morning, thank you so much for taking time out of your day to come and visit with us. You're our honored guest this morning. Please stick around for a few minutes after services. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there. I think Don and Dole are extending a Mother's Day gift to all the women in the church this morning. Is they've asked me to preach. Not that I'm a great preacher, but I have a reputation for not being a long-winded preacher. So I think that was their way of saying Happy Mother's Day. Just a very few announcements this morning. Because it's Mother's Day, there'll be no evening services tonight. Take some time, enjoy your family, and spend time with your family this evening. There is on the table out here to my left, there is a setup for mothers. Please stop by. Please get some of the items that are on that table, and that is gifts that are being provided to the mothers this morning. Please remember that camp is coming up. It's coming up quickly. It'll start June the 2nd, and so please keep that in your prayers. If your kids are going, get ready to take a week off and go on vacation that week. But in all seriousness, please keep that effort in your prayers. 1 week from yesterday will be Alex and Abby's wedding date at 6 p.m. on May 18th, so don't forget about that. The food donation list in the foyer for camp, I forgot to mention that, is deadline for that food donation list is May 26th. So if you've signed up for that or you're going to sign up for that, please get that here by May the 26th. With that, we'll have a word of prayer and begin our worship service this morning. Father God, thank you so much for the opportunity that we have today. Thank you for the opportunity that we have to get together with our family members here and to spend time with each other. The opportunity that we have as we enter into this worship service. The freedoms we have to enter into this worship service without fear of outside interference, Lord. As we enter into this worship service, we pray that you would be with those of us who are participating in the service. That you would be with all of us, that our hearts and our minds would be in the right place and our focus would be on you. We pray that you'd be with those of our number who can't be here, that you'd bring them back to us as soon as possible. We pray all these things in Christ's name. Amen. Amen.
Good morning, church.
Morning.
It's good to be back in front of y'all. I know I've been haven't been able to do song leading these past 2 weekends or due to being sick. I mean, I was sick for about 2 weeks. I got to last Sunday and they were like, we're just going to go ahead and let Jordan, do it just to let you rest some more. I appreciate that. And Jordan, you did a great job, man. Appreciate you stepping up and taking over for me. I was proud of you. So, but hey, I always take another song leader to have as somebody to kind of tag team. So if you ever want, you can always join the song leading class whenever you want, man. But it's glad to be back in front of y'all. I know it was when he did it, I kind of was like, maybe I'd be able to do it. But I was sitting back there all last Sunday just sneezing and blowing my nose and stuff. So that would not have been good on stage. But happy Mother's Day to all the mothers. I know I wouldn't be where I'm at today without my mom, literally. So thank you, Mom. Appreciate you. Love you. But let's knock some of this rust off. If you please stand for this first song. We'll get started and hopefully we'll see how it goes. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power and love. Our God is an awesome God. 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 He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with some power and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. Please remain standing. We will glorify the King of Peace. We will glorify the Lamb. is the great I am. Hallelujah to the King of Kings. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Hallelujah to the Lord of Lords, who is the great I am. You be seated.
I'll be opening up the service with a word of prayer and then a quick scripture. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you in prayer. Thank you for today. Thank you for allowing us to assemble and learn a portion of your word, Father. We pray, Father, that we may take this information not only for our own gain, but may spread it further into the world. We pray, Father, that we may learn and teach in a manner that's well pleasing in your sight. Just let me pray. Amen. I will be reading 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 7 and 8. But we were gentle among you, like a nursing mother taking care of her own child, or her own children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own selves, because you had become very dear to us.
That means getting married soon. Isn't that cool? We'll use this next song to prepare our hearts and minds for the Lord's Supper. If you'll please stand. I am weak, but thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. I'll be satisfied as long as I walk, dear Lord, close to thee. Just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. When my feeble life is o'er, time for me will be no more. Guide me gently, safely o'er, to thy kingdom shore, to thy shore. Just walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. Maybe see.
Mother's Day to all the moms. When it comes to sports, I'm a fan of LSU. I'm a fan of the Saints. I consider myself more of a fan than a follower. A follower because I don't know all the players, the team stats, like maybe I know Tripp does, is a huge Saints fan. Matt is more of a follower. I see Dominic and Logan, another huge LSU followers. A couple weeks ago, Bevan and I had the privilege of attending an event that Red sponsored in Hattiesburg for First Priority. This is an organization that goes and brings Christianity to university and schools throughout Mississippi. I was looking this morning, it says their vision is to touch the lives of every student of every campus in Mississippi through local church network-based Christian clubs. So one of the cool things we got to see was the guest speaker, and this was at the one of the big Baptist church in Hattiesburg, which is huge, but the keynote speaker was Tim Tebow. Tim is a Heisman winner, a two-time national champion of the University of Florida. He's a first-round draft pick, was a first-round draft pick in the NFL. In his junior year at Florida, he put Philippians 4:13 right underneath his eyes during game days. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He continued to do this for an entire season. During this time, he got a lot of attention for doing this and brought a lot of attention to Philippians 4:13. In 2009, before the national championship game, he said that God put it on his heart to change the verse. Of course, this would be the biggest stage of college football, the national championship, for all to see. He decided to go with John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in him will not perish, but have everlasting life." Two nights before the big game, Tebow went to his parents' hotel room to tell them what he was doing. He said his mom was super supportive. His dad said, "Well, which coach am I going to say?" Tebow said, "That dude is so superstitious, it's just ridiculous. If he won a game with long socks, the next week they would have even longer socks. Whatever was working, the coach was going to stick with it." So the next day after team walkthroughs, Tebow was like, "Hey, coach, I need to talk to you." Coach Meyer said, "Yeah, how's your arm, your leg? You feeling good? You got the game plan down?" Tebow said, "Yeah, I'm good. I'm good. You know that verse I wear under my coach?" He said, "Yeah, Philippians 4:13. Love it." Tebow said, "Well, I'm going to change it tomorrow night to John 3:16. Coach said, "What? What are you talking about? You can't change the verse. That's what got us here." So after some explaining, Coach Meyer understood and became supportive. The next night, Tebow and the Florida Gators were blessed to win the national championship. 2 days after the game, Tebow was sitting in a restaurant with his family and Coach Meyer. Coach Meyer gets a call from the PR guy at Florida, and he's like, "All right, bye." So Tebow looks at the coach and says, "What was that all about?" He told me that it was our PR guy, and he just told me that during the game, 94 million people Googled John 3:16. Tebow said that was his first thought was, "How the heck did 94 million people not know this verse?" Exactly 3 years later to the day, Tebow happened to be playing for the Denver Broncos against the Pittsburgh Steelers in the first round of the playoffs. Tebow said he didn't think about John 3:16 one time during that game. He just went out there and tried to do everything he could to win the game. Tebow ended up winning the game in overtime. After the game, Tebow said he was getting ready to go talk to the media in a practice conference. Right before he was leaving, Patrick, his PR guy, steps in front of Tebow and says, "Timmy, do you realize what just happened?" Tebow was like, "Yeah, we just beat the Steelers. We're going to play the Patriots." He said, "Timmy, do you realize what just happened?" By now, Tebow could tell he was being serious. So he's like, "Patrick, what's up, man?" He looks at Tebow and says, "Timmy, this is exactly 3 years from the time you put John 3:16 under your eyes." Tebow was like, "Oh, really? That's awesome. That's really cool." He said, "Timmy, you still don't get it. During the game, you threw for 316 yards. Your yards per rush were 3.16. Your yards per completion were 31.6. Your time of possession was 31.06. The ratings for the night were 31.6. And during the game, 90 million people Googled John 3:16, and it was the number one trending on social media all night. Tebow said he was just standing in the hallway thinking, "God, I didn't know that you were doing anything. Like, that was 3 years ago." Tebow went on to explain when he first put it under his eyes, it was all about glorifying God and letting others know he was a Christian. 3 years later, he was more focused on winning the game and just proving that he deserved to be in the NFL. He said God put him in his place to make him realize that it's not about him, but but it's all about God and just how big our God really is. This message by Tebow really touched me, and God was working through a small act of courage from a young football player, and God used that to do amazing things. If we step outside of our comfort zone, if we show a little boldness, what amazing things will God do in our lives, in the lives of others? As we prepare our minds for the Lord's Supper, I thought John 3:16 was a very fitting verse. God allowed his one and only Son to die on the cross because of his great love for us, so that we would not perish, but have everlasting life with him in heaven. This time, let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for this time that we can just come together to worship you. Lord, I ask that you help us as Christians to step outside of our comfort zone and show boldness and allow you to work in our lives and show our Christianity to others. Lord, at this time, I ask that you bless this bread that we're about to take that represents your Son's body that was torn, broken, and crucified for us on the cross. I ask that you be with us as we take the cup that represents your blood that was shed for the forgiveness of our sins. Lord, I ask that you take this, help us take this in a manner that's pleasing unto you. It's in your Son's name we pray. Separate from the Lord's Supper, we take this time to give back a portion that God's so truly blessed us with. We know that everything we have is His and comes from Him, and He just truly blessed us. Let's pray. Dear Lord, as we continue our prayer, we just thank you so much. I thank you for this church family, Lord. I thank you for the leadership in this church. I just thank you for everything that you bless us with, Lord. I ask at this time that we just give back to you. We do so with a cheerful heart. And we know that in return, you will continue to bless us, Lord. We just ask for your guidance in all that we do. Forgive us of our sins. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.
All right. Everything's gone smoothly so far. You know, I wasn't up here hacking up or anything, so that's good. Even then, if I didn't have an emergency cough drop, just in case. So I appreciate you. If you'll please stand, this will be the song before Matt comes up. And, you know, I'm sure he has something awesome planned, and we're excited to hear what he's got to sing. Don't you want to go to that land? Don't you want to go to that land? Don't you want to go to that land where I'm bound? Don't you want to go to that land? Don't you want to go to that land? Don't you want to go to that land where I'm bound? Nothing but love in that land. Nothing but love in that land. Nothing but love in that land where I'm bound. Nothing but love in that land. Nothing but love in that land. Nothing but love in that land where I'm bound. Nothing but joy in that land. Nothing but joy in that land. Nothing but joy in that land where I'm bound. Nothing but joy in that land. Nothing but joy in that land. Nothing but joy in that land where I'm bound. And I've got a Savior in that land. I've got a Savior in that land. I've got a Savior in that land where I'm bound. And I've got a Savior in that land. I've got a Savior in that land. I've got a Savior in that land where I'm bound. You may be seated.
Good morning.
Good morning.
You know, I've had the opportunity to stand before congregations and preach, lead singing, say prayer. And to this day, the first time I did it, I was probably about 13 or 14 years old. And my grandmother, who raised two boys who have also preached, led singing, gave me really good advice. First time I was in her small congregation in Old City, Louisiana, and she looked at me, and I'm nervous, my hands are shaking, and I'm expecting her to really give me some strong encouragement. She leaned over and goes, "Before you get up, make sure your zipper's zipped." Great practical advice. Here I am, many years later, we won't count them, and I still do that every time I stand up and speak. Happy Mother's Day to all those that are mothers in the crowd, all those who may not be biological mothers, but play the role of mothers. Happy Mother's Day to you. Mom, if you're watching, happy Mother's Day. She told me this morning that she would either watch live or go back and watch, so happy Mother's Day. My wife loves to tell a story that really epitomizes the thanklessness that goes along with being a mother. She was, yes. She was raising five-year-old Preston, and she had worked two jobs that day. It was 8 or 9 o'clock, and she looked at Preston and told him, "Buddy, it's time to turn the TV off and go to bed." Independent five-year-old Preston did not agree that it was time to go to bed. So out of protest, he stomped down the hallway, turned and looked at her and said, "I want a gooder mom." So heartbroken, Jessica went to bed, got up the next morning, and of course went in his room just like she always does, rubs his back and loved on him and said, "Hey buddy, it's time to get up and go to school." And she loved on him for about a minute or two. And after that, he rolled over and goes, "See, you're not so bad after all." In his mind, he was offering a compliment. I don't think Jessica quite took it that way. In preparing for the sermon this morning, I came across a list of bad Mother's Day cards. Guys, kids, some of our teens are back here. If you gave your mom these cards today, you're going to need to go to Walmart to get something. So I pulled out a few of those to look at this morning. The first one is, "Mom, thanks for always checking up on you." You might not be able to see the small print, but it shows Mom missed calls 24. The second one says, "This is you trying to read this card." The next one says, "Mom, I love you and would do anything for you except clean my room. Please don't make me do that." The next one says, "Dear Mom, without me, today would just be like any other day. You're welcome." "Mom, you made me who I am." See, whether that's good or bad is a matter of opinion. "Mom, I cannot begin to imagine just how proud I make you." Last but not least, "Mom, I love you loads. Speaking of loads, can you do my laundry?" Again, if you got these cards for your mom, you're going to need to go back to the store. A British newspaper did a survey several years ago, and they found that 40% of moms received a Mother's Day card that they didn't, or Mother's Day gift that they didn't like. And then they compiled a list of the top 30 bad Mother's Day gifts. And I'm put just a few of them up here. It's kind of like the cards, guys. If you gave this gift, you need to go back to the store. Deodorant, an IOU, a fire extinguisher, a rock. You can see the rest of them. The last one, car parts, I mean, that one kind of depends. I mean, what kind of car, what kind of parts are we talking about? All of these tell you how sometimes, even on a Mother's Day, some of us get it wrong. We don't quite celebrate it the right way. Understand that Mother's Day means different things to different people. For some people, Mother's Day is a celebration. It's an exciting day. For others, today may be a sad day. Maybe it's a Mother's Day without your mother. For some, it's a day that brings up different kinds of emotions. Maybe you didn't have the best relationship with your mother. Or maybe it's somebody who was never able to become a mother. Understand today has different emotions for different people. And while we're not all biological mothers, we all have a mother. And that's what today is about celebrating those mothers and those women who played the role of mothers in our life. They played as instruments of God's hands to mold and to shape us into who we are today. That's one of the awesome things about a church family. Look around this room. This room is full of what I would call second moms. People, women who played a role as mom for somebody. And it ranges in age. It goes from Moses' sister, and I got permission to pick on her this morning, to Allison Stott. Where's little Allison?
On the floor.
There she is. My girls absolutely love their friend Allison. And so in some senses, she plays that role of second mom, even to little girls. And that's the cool part about a church family is we have those women throughout the crowd. And so we're not just honoring biological mothers today. We're honoring all those who played that role in our lives to help shape us and make us who we are today. Throughout the Bible, God is almost exclusively referred to in the masculine sense. However, when talking about God's love to us, a lot of times there's verses that compare it to a mother's love. Let's look at a few of those verses this morning. First one comes from Matthew 22 and 37. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her? How often I wanted to gather your children together the way a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were unwilling. Another one is Isaiah 66:13. As one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you, and you will be comforted in Jerusalem. The next one is Isaiah 49:15. Can a woman forget her nursing child and have no compassion on the son of her womb? Even these may forget, but I will not forget you. The strongest characteristic of motherhood is love. But that's not exclusive to motherhood. That's the strongest characteristic of what God has expressed to us as his children. John 13, starting in verse 34, as a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. The next one is Matthew chapter 22, starting in verse 36. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All of the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. I love the use of the word hang in verse 40 because it really hammers home the point. Love is the glue that holds it all together. If love is absent, it falls apart. It just simply doesn't work. Oftentimes in our society, we throw love around. We throw the word love around and it loses its meaning. We love sports, we love food, we love sleep, we love weather, we love clothes. We love all types of things. But that's not the kind of love we're talking about this morning. This morning we're talking about a devoted love, a committed love, and agape love. In particular this morning, we're going to talk about the love of a mother. As Alex read for us this morning, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 7 and 8. We were gentle among you like a nursing mother taking care of her own children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also of ourselves, of our own selves, because you had become very dear to us. Paul is essentially telling the church in Thessalonica, we loved you like a mother loves her children. This type of love is a direct reflection of the love that God has for us. This morning, I want to look at three character traits of a motherly love and how it reflects the love that God has for us. The first one is, a mother's love is sacrificial. How many of us have ever heard a mother tell her children, I just want you to know, I gave up my youth for you. I'm not going to admit that either my mom or my wife have ever made those statements. While it's an entertaining line, it reflects the sacrifice that mothers are willing to make for their children. I heard a story about a teacher teaching a math class, and she was trying to teach fractions, and she said, okay, here's the situation. There's six people in your household, a mom, a dad, and four kids. And there's a pie that's made for dinner. And if everybody gets a piece, how much of the pie do you get? The little boy in the back raised his hand and said, I know. I get 20%, one-fifth. She says, I'm afraid you don't understand fractions. He said, I'm afraid you don't know my mom. She's willing to give up her piece so that we can all have a little extra pie. The willingness of a mother to sacrifice for her children is one of the greatest qualities of motherly love. In the animal world, the tenacity of a mother protecting her young is legendary. We've all heard the term mama bear. Where'd that term come from? It literally comes from the fact that a mother bear will go toe-to-toe with an adult-sized bear twice her size if she feels like her children, her cubs, are in danger. Amen. One thing you learn in the animal kingdom, don't stand between a mother and her young. That motherly instinct of sacrifice is amplified in human beings. Think about Moses. She was willing to put her child in a basket and set him out to preserve his life. And then she was willing to become a servant just so she could spend time with him. What a sacrifice she was willing to make for her child. How many baseball fans do we have this morning? I know Mr. Ken, Miss Bonnie. All right. I want to talk about the 1974 Major League Baseball season. I've got a picture of Hank Aaron on the screen. Those of you who know baseball and know history know that 1974, Hank Aaron was a pretty big deal. 1973, Hank Aaron finished the season with 713 career home runs, one short of the home run king, Babe Ruth. And so he went the entire offseason being one home run short of being the all-time career home run leader. During that offseason, they said Hank Aaron received over 900,000 pieces of mail. Overwhelming majority, 90% of it, was supporting fan mail. But you got to understand, Hank Aaron was a black baseball player playing in the Deep South in the 1970s. There were people who didn't like the fact that he was about to pass Babe Ruth, just solely because of the color of his skin. So some of that mail wasn't fan mail. Some of that mail was hate mail. Some of that mail were death threats and assassination threats if he broke Babe Ruth's record. So the 1970, in fact, backing up for a second, Hank Aaron had a quote that said his greatest fear that offseason was not living long enough to play the 1974 season. April 1974 comes around. The Braves start the season on the road. And early in the road trip, Hank Aaron hits 714. So he is tied Babe Ruth. Well, the Braves didn't want him to break the record on the road. They wanted it at home. They wanted to celebrate at home. So they actually benched Hank Aaron for the rest of the road trip to make sure he didn't hit another home run until they got back to Atlanta. So the Braves get back to Atlanta. They're playing their first home game against the LA Dodgers. Fourth inning, Hank Aaron comes to bat. He hits a fastball about 385 feet over the left field wall in Fulton County Stadium and rounds the bases. The dugout, his teammates empty onto the field to celebrate. The media rushes home plate to get an interview, to get a picture. And it's a weird setting. It's in the middle of the game, and yet all these people have rushed the field. During that process, his mother, Estella, rushes the field. And she hugs him. and she hugs him, and doesn't let go. Eventually, Hank Aaron looks at her and says, "Mom, what are you doing here?" And her response was awesome. They said, "If they're going to get you, they're going to go through me." She thought somebody was going to try to kill her. She wasn't just celebrating with her son. She was there literally to take a bullet for him. What an awesome love. They had security guards. They had law enforcement. But she wasn't going to delegate that job. That was her job. What an awesome sacrifice. If we're going to have the love for each other as Christians, we've got to understand that sacrifice for each other. We've got to understand and be willing to have that same sacrifice for each other, because that's the same sacrifice that Christ had for us. Ephesians 5:25, "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for us." That's the kind of love we're commanded to have for each other. 1 John chapter 3, verse 16 through 18. "By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. And if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and truth." I love this translation on that last sentence. "But do not love in word or talk." Don't tell me about it. Do it. You know, I hate to give this credit. I think I've said it up here before. But a good friend of mine coached with Nick Saban when he was at the good school, when he was at LSU. And one of his favorite lines that Coach Saban would use when a player started making excuses is, "Your actions are speaking so loud I can't hear a word you're saying." There's a lot of truth to that. Sacrificial love is willing to do whatever it takes, whatever needs to be done to take care of a brother and sister's need. It means putting others first in our lives. As Paul put it in Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interest of the others." It's a powerful, powerful commandment. Think of others' interest above your own. That's tough. That's tough to do. Sacrificial love seeks the good of others, even when that means giving up something that they might be rightfully entitled to. Let me give you an example of this. I believe that sleeping 7 hours a night is a right that we've been given by God. Having kids has told me that that might not actually be a God-given right. But for those of us who have had kids, when a kid cries in the middle of the night, eventually one of the parents gets up and takes care of it. And let's be honest, guys, 9 times out of 10, it's mom. Mom's willing to get up and take care of the kid. She's willing to sacrifice the God-given right to a full night's sleep to make sure that the kid's taken care of. Now look, maybe her motivation is that she doesn't want child services asking questions. I don't know. But most of the time, it's because she understands that loving that child means sacrificing something that she might believe she's entitled to. How often do we fail to demonstrate this love to others? How often do we insist instead on having things our way? Sacrificial love means that we're willing to give up something for the good of others. It tells me that I shouldn't constantly be on the lookout for what I need, but maybe that I should be on the lookout for what others' needs are, so that maybe I can step up and fulfill that need. One lesson we can learn from others is sacrificial love. The second characteristic of a mother's love is that it's unconditional. One of the biggest differences between the love of a mother and the love that we may share with others is that the love of a mother is unconditional. There's truly no strings attached. It doesn't matter if her son or daughter is the president of the United States or if they're in jail. And we live in a crazy world that those two things may be colliding soon. That mother loves that child no matter where that child's at in life. Even if that mother's bitterly disappointed in that child, that love never goes away. There's a longtime Church of Christ preacher named Jack Exum, and he would always tell the story of a young girl who turned 18 and decided she was ready to move away from home and go to the big city. Unfortunately, as happens to a lot of people when they move away from home at a young age into a big new environment, she became a drug addict. Then she needed money to fuel that drug addiction. She began to work the streets. Word got back to mom. And as you can imagine, the mother was crushed, absolutely destroyed by this. So a couple of months later, the girl walked into a bar where she often went to meet customers. And there on the salt shaker, at the table of the bar, was a picture of her mom. Handwritten note, please come home. She put out over 500 copies of this picture around the entire city. She was disappointed in her daughter, but she loved her, and she loved her unconditionally. A mother's love is there regardless of failure, regardless of how life turns out. And that, too, is a direct reflection of God's love for us. It's the kind of love that He has shown us repeatedly. Romans chapter 5, verse 8, but God shows His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Think of it this way. God can't love us any more than He loves us today. On the flip side, He can't love us any less than He loves us today. Because He loves us the same and He loves us unconditionally. It's important to learn and to practice an unconditional love, not only to God, not only to our kids, but to each other. What happens when somebody disagrees with us or offends us? Do we shut off fellowship? Do we just walk away? If our opinion didn't win the day, do we just leave? No, that's not what unconditional love does. What happens if somebody sins and they need us more than ever right then? Do you turn your back? Or do you do what unconditional love does and you're there for more than ever when they need you in that moment? That's what unconditional love is. It's a story of a husband who wanted a raise. He wanted to go talk to his boss and ask for a raise. So finally, on a Friday morning, he told his wife, today's the day. I'm going in, and I'm going to ask for that raise. He worked all day, nervous, scared. Finally, late in the afternoon, he went to the boss's office. And to his surprise, the boss agreed on the spot to give him a raise. And so he came home and the wife had prepared a beautiful meal, steak and potatoes. There was flowers on the table. And he thought, wow, somebody must have called home and told her, I got the raise. But to his surprise, she didn't know that. He had to tell her that. And so when she brought out dinner, there was a little note next to the dinner table. And it said, congratulations, darling. I knew you'd get the raise. All these things tonight tell you how much I love you. And of course, touched by that, he was excited. They eat dinner, and she gets up to go in the kitchen and make dessert. Another note drops out of her pocket and grabs it. And it says, I love you, even though you didn't get the raise. You deserved it. These things tell you how much I love you. Her love was unconditional. She was ready to love and support him no matter what happened. It didn't matter how much money he made. It didn't matter how much prestige his job came with. She was willing to love him no matter what. Unconditional love doesn't say, I love you because, I love you unless, or I love you if. It says, I love you no matter what. Amen. That's a character trait of a mother's love that is a direct reflection of God's love for us. The last trait I want to look at this morning is that a mother's love is a forgiving one. The first example we probably had as a kid of forgiveness had to have come from mom. No matter how much we messed up or what we did, mom usually not only had to forgive, but had to deal with the consequences. Whether it was spilling a glass of milk, leaving food too close to the end of the table so the dog could get it, playing in the mud, We're not even going to talk about potty training. Those are the things that we learn forgiveness from our mom. The first time we had forgiveness in our life came from a mother. There's a lady in Erie, Pennsylvania who recently passed away. Her name was Betty Ferguson. Betty Ferguson had four kids. One of those four kids was a daughter named Debbie. Unfortunately, Debbie passed from this world far too soon. You see, Debbie was 16 years old, and she was had an argument with her mom and stormed out of the house. Probably not uncommon for teenage girls. She didn't come back the next day. Betty just assumed that maybe she was at a friend's house, still upset over the argument. As a couple of days went by, the family ultimately got the worst possible news. The daughter's body had been found in a wooded area. She had been the victim of an assault and a murder. A few days down the road, they found the person who did it, arrested him, and of course, in order to avoid the death penalty, he took a plea deal. And at the sentencing of this man's wife, the mother, Betty, showed up and offered her forgiveness. The man didn't ask for it. But you see, she was a mother of four. She understood the power of being able to forgive. She also turned that into a ministry. She later created an organization that was a support group for victims' families that found themselves in similar positions. She took her forgiveness and made it a powerful testimony of how a forgiving love can change lives. The ultimate example of forgiveness comes to us through Christ. Mark chapter 23, starting in verse 33. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified there along with the criminals, one on his right, one on his left. And then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they divided up his garments by casting lots. Christ was willing to forgive those who weren't even asking for it. Not only were they weren't asking for it, they were still in the process of taking his life. But yet, he was willing to forgive. The forgiving love of a mother is a perfect reflection of God's love for us. There's much we can learn from a mother's love. Our love for each other has to mirror that of a mother's love for her kids. It's got to be a sacrificial love, an unconditional love, and a forgiving love. But as much as your mother loves you, there's things in her life she can't do for you. There's a written piece called Reflections of a Mother. Part of that says, "I gave you life, but I cannot live it for you. I can teach you things, but I cannot make you learn. I can take you to church, but I cannot make you believe. I can teach you right from wrong, but I cannot always be there to decide for you. I can love you as a child, but I cannot place you in God's family. I can pray for you, but I cannot make you walk with God. I can teach you about Jesus, but I cannot make him your Lord." It's true. As much as our mothers love us, they can't follow God for us. That becomes our job. That's where we have to pick up the mantle and run with it. You see, today's message is not just about mothers, and it's not just for mothers. This is a message to everyone in the room, starting with this guy right here. You see, the mother's love for her kids is a roadmap as to how we should love each other right here in this building. Because it's a perfect reflection of God's love for us. If you want to be a better Christian, love like a mother. If you want to be a better spouse, love like a mother. If you want to be a better child, love like a mother. If you want to be the church that impacts South Mississippi, start right here by loving each other like a mother. If we want to be the church that God has called us to be, you have to love each other like a mother. It's amazing what this church right here can do when we have that love for each other. We can set this community on fire if we had an unconditional love, a sacrificial love, and a forgiving love right here in this building. Because let me tell you something. When you have that love for each other right here, people notice. People in the community will notice that they're different. They don't just talk about it. They genuinely care about each other. There's something about that that's just different. I challenge you this week, and as we go forward, try to apply these things. Your household, but more importantly, right here in this building, that we love each other unconditionally, sacrificially, and with a forgiving love. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for the mothers in our lives, Lord, the women that have influenced our lives, the women that have impacted our lives, Lord. We thank you so much for those gifts that you've given us. We thank you for those influences in our lives. Lord, as we understand today's a different day for different people, Lord, we pray that you would be with those that might be struggling today, Lord, for whatever the reason, that you would comfort them. Lord, I pray that you would be with this church, Lord. I pray that we would have that kind of love that you've shown us for each other, Lord. A sacrificial love, an unconditional love, and a forgiving love. Lord, you gave us the first example of that, but you also gave us the example of that through the mothers in our lives. And we thank you for that. Father God, we thank you so much for your Son and the sacrifice that he made for us. We pray all these things in Christ's name. Amen. If we can help you in any way this morning, would you come as we stand and sing?
As a deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. You alone are my strength, my shield. May my spirit heal. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you.